Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in Solution with Dr. Elena George. I am really blessed this morning to have two friends on whom I really love and respect deeply. I met them years ago, and I was a guest on their show, Cowboy Logic Radio. And I want to introduce you to Donna Fiducia and Don Nguyen, two people who are on the front line, who have their finger on the pulse of what's going on politically and socially, and they're not afraid to speak the truth. And that's what this show is about. If your feelings get hurt, this is not the place for you to be, because this is about being honest, being able to speak your mind, being able to back up your facts, and to ask people to think outside the box and do their due diligence and their research. And I really love how Don and Donna, you know, express themselves and their personalities come through. But in everything they say, there is truth. And so I wanted them to come on today to speak about society and the environment that we find ourselves in. We are now in the height of election season, and it's been, I don't know, eye-opening experience how awful it's been and how the media has taken control of the narrative and how social media and big tech is trying to run us down a gauntlet in an environment that they want to control, but that's not working. And Donna is a former Fox News reporter, correct, Donna?
Anchor. And news reporter. And well, I had 30 years in New York that included Fox News, Fox 5, NBC, CBS, and a lot of radio, rock and roll radio. But I worked with Howard Stern when he was G-rated, and Don Imus as well, late Don Imus, both of which were really, really phenomenal people to work with. They were groundbreaking in their areas.
And that means that you definitely spoke truth to power without fear. And that's one of the things that you continue to do.
We try.
I think you do a great job. And Don, how did you come to this? How did you create Cowboy Logic Radio?
Well, I'm the brains behind the beauty.
Yes, this is true. Well, at least the technical
I'm
part
kidding,
of it.
Doctor, you know that was a joke because you know me. Now, basically what ended up happening is many years ago, probably six to eight months before the 2008 election, I was ranting and writing diatribes on social media, and I was labeling those diatribes Cowboy Logic. And about 2013, wasn't it, Donna? 2013, Donna and I were standing in front of the television screaming at it. She more so than I am because she's a New Jersey Italian. But we were both talking to an inanimate object, and we looked at each other with disgust and said, we got to do something about this. And Donna's career in television and radio, she had retired from that, and I knew that her passion was truly radio. I have a recording studio that could easily be modified into a radio studio. And with the technology that's out there now, we can broadcast to the world just like you are from our home. And so I looked at her and I said, let's start our own radio show, Cowboy Logic Radio. And so within about 2 weeks, we were up and running with that. And that's now going on 7 years, something like that.
Well, you actually started a Facebook page called Cowboy Logic. And because things were so obvious to us, and it just wasn't getting through to people. It was cowboy logic. And that really caught on. And then we kind of went from there, though, too, with the name.
And then we had this gal named Dr. Elena George show up as a guest on our show, and our lives were changed forever.
Well, actually, Dr. Elena, as I sat there and watched the TV many times, screaming at it, I had Newsmax on. And you came on, and I went, wow. She's awesome.
She's a real doctor.
And she lives in Atlanta, so we're here in Atlanta, too, or outside Atlanta. So I got in touch with you, and the rest is history. But your television appearances is what turned me on to you and the great work that you do.
Well, I was screaming at the TV as well, and I started to write a blog. And it just kind of grew from there to a radio show. And here we are, both are, which means we're ordinary people who decided that things weren't right. And instead of us whining and getting angry and not doing something about it, we decided to actually share what we found out with everybody. And this is the message, I think. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. If you have a question about how this society is going and you want your voice to be heard, you need to do it. You need to get on Facebook, have a podcast. These things are easy to do now. And this is how you fight, I think, the monolithic media that's out there that's literally working against us 24/7. And we're going to get into a lot of topics, but, you know, we're in the age of the coronavirus right now. And I've heard some disturbing things from the media and from the pundits on the side against the current administration, saying things like, we hope that, you know, we'll go to a Republican convention and infect people, and I hope this is Trump's Katrina, and things like that. How do you wish ill on fellow citizens, on human beings, because you want to win?
What about Bill Maher, whose father, believe it or not, was Howard Stern's engineer? And I knew his father quite well. And he came in one day, Bill Maher Sr., and said, my son is a comedian. And we're like, yeah, right. There's a million comedians in New York. You know, nobody. Well, he made it. And then he gets the show. Then he gets political, and he's vile. Mm. I mean, I don't know him personally. Again, I knew his dad. And the thing is, he gets up there and says things like, I hope the economy tanks. Mm. I hope people lose their jobs. Anything we can do to get a Democrat back in office. Are you serious? If you're that elitist, you don't really care about anybody. And here we are getting these millionaires. Notice how Bernie Sanders used to say millionaires and billionaires. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. It's billionaires now, because he is a millionaire. and he's picking up on all these people and picking on all these people. And he's one of them. And they want to take over your lives. And they don't even have private sector jobs. And they're almost 80 years old. Both Biden and Sanders have never had private sector jobs. It's humiliating. These people are so far out there. They have no idea what middle America's like. And grassroots efforts like what you do, Dr. Elena, and what we try to do with Cowboy Logic, to try to wake up people who just want to live their lives and be alone and not have it government infringe on their freedom.
I think you said a mouthful. You know, I think there's so many more things that bring us together than divide us. And we are living in this fishbowl where people are throwing stones, but they're not going to face you, right? They're not, you know, brave enough to get in your face and say what they do online and have people just backbite and fight each other. That's what they want. They want us to hate each other. They don't want us to come together behind, you know, a common threat that we're all human. Forget about black, white, green. What, it doesn't even matter. It's us against them, literally. They want us gone. I don't think there's any other way to put that.
Well, they divide and conquer.
Here's the thing. Liberalism is all about tribalism. And when you divide, obviously, you can pit one tribe against the other. Mm-hmm. Here's the other thing, Doctor. Liberals, a conservative, and Republicans and libertarians sometimes feel that liberals are people with bad ideas. They're people with bad ideas. If you flip that coin, a liberal oftentimes will consider a conservative or a libertarian bad people with ideas. You follow me on that?
Yeah, I do.
And that's where a lot of the problem is coming from.
Was that initially how it was, or was that, you know, incubated to feel that way? I mean, before everybody had a freedom of speech meant something. That means even if I don't agree with you, I will defend your right to say it. That is not what's being said now. If you say it, then you should die. You should be arrested. You should be run out of business. When do we make that jump from live and let live, and if I don't agree with you, I'm just going to step away, to I want you gone. I want you crushed. When did that happen?
In the 60s, it was, we will defend your right to say it. And I think each generation, unfortunately, degrades down. And now we're getting to that point where it's turning, I believe, into Marxist tactics, which is scary.
Well, you know, I want to think about that and talk about it a little bit more when we come back after the break, specifically the Alinsky model, because I think that's what everybody on the left is using. So let's take our first break. You're living the solution. Are you having problems with persistent bad breath, constant throat clearing, hoarseness, a cough that won't go away, a sore throat, or a feeling that something's always stuck in your throat? Why not find out what the problem is so it can be fixed? At Peachtree ENT Center, we believe in taking time to work with our patients as a team to get to the root of the problem. Make an appointment today to see why Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. Call 404-591-9100 or visit us at peachtreeentcenter.com. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Don Nguyen and Donna Fiducia. And before the break, we were starting to really get into the liberal mindset. And, you know, I think neurolinguistic programming has been in play here because we're using language as a weapon. And liberals are not what these guys are. They're totalitarian, which is completely opposite. They want to control you. They want to control your speech, your movement, whether or not you have a child. And if you do, what happens to that child? This is not liberal. Liberal is really live and let live, right? It's not progressive. So what is this, for those who don't know, what is the Alinsky model or the Alinsky technique?
Well, basically this is from Saul Alinsky, and he wrote a book many years ago, Rules for Radicals. And I would encourage all conservatives, all libertarians to read this book because there's no better way to defeat the enemy. And that's at this point, sadly, what we need to be referring to the left as. There's no better way to defeat the enemy than to understand their playbook, to get their blueprints and understand what's going on. I mean, think about it. In a football game, what would you give to have the other team, your opponent, your enemy's playbook? So you get books like Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. You read it, you understand where they're coming from. And then quite frankly, we've gotten to a point politically, the political environment that's taking place in the United States now, we've gotten to a point where we can no longer, as conservatives, as Republicans, as libertarians, we can no longer play fair. We can't always take the high road now. It's now time to take the gloves off and start defeating the enemy and battling the enemy using the same tactics that they use, because we are failing any other way. I've said it countless times on our show. The left has become unrecognizable to me as fellow American citizens sharing any of the same values that I have, that you have, Dr. George, that Donna has, that probably all of your listeners have. I mean, this past weekend with the abortion thing that was going on out in front of the Supreme Court where Chuck Schumer shows up, not only was Chuck Schumer absolutely out of place,
out of line,
and unrecognizable as an elected official, but also the screeching, vile language that was going on by the people that were speaking. I don't know whether you caught any of it, but it was appalling behavior.
Dr. George, I just Googled Rules for Radicals, and it does say briefly, the latest book written by Alinsky was published shortly before his death in 1972. And his goal was to create a guide for future community organizers to use in uniting low-income communities or have-nots in order for them to gain social, political, legal, and economic power. And within it, he compiled the lessons that he had learned throughout his experiences of community organizing from 39 to 71. And I think people ought to realize this guy is what Hillary Clinton wrote her thesis on when she was in graduate school.
Did you pull that up from Wikipedia? You know?
Actually, yeah.
Okay. That was a real beautiful spin, don't you think, Dr. George? and very eloquently written about somebody that, quite frankly, wrote a book about how to destroy the fabric of America.
Exactly.
I agree. But if you even go, you know, zoom out even further on socialism, communism, they're both the same thing. It's just a different method of how you get to the same point. It's not about helping those that don't have. It's about subjugating them. If you look at the whole communist structure with the bureaucracy and the people who are part of the structure, they live a completely different life than those who are the plebs out in the real world. They're eating the steak. The people are working. They're living in great houses. They're traveling. Everybody else is trapped in a system that they'll never get out of. And this is what they're trying to get people to want or to love. They don't respect anybody. They don't respect you if you're black, if you're a woman. You are a means to them gaining power. And mm-hmm. by giving you or making you think or making you, I don't know, mind controlling into believing that you're a victim of some sort. I'm sorry. This is not 1950s United States. My mom couldn't try on clothes. She had to go through a back door. She couldn't sit in the same movie, you know, section of a movie theater. That's a whole different ballgame than me going to Princeton and being a doctor and sitting on this show. This is a country that allowed us to succeed. And there's nothing standing in somebody's way now, whether you're an immigrant, whether you're not. And I mean legal, by the way. If you have a will, there's a way to get ahead. If you have some sense and some gumption, nobody's standing in your way except the government when they're with all these regulations and rules. But technically, I'd rather be here than France, than England, than any other country. God forbid it's Middle East country. I wouldn't be sitting here. You wouldn't be either, Donna. You know, no. So from our standpoint, no one's going to sit here and say, this is the worst country. We haven't moved. I mean, are they still, they're out there talking crap. They wouldn't be doing that in China.
Now, it's never going to be perfect, but to me, socialism, like those books, socialism is communism for dummies. That really is kind of what it is. And, you know, we have a very good friend from South Africa, Brendy Wells, and she is having a hard time getting her family to the United States. She's married an American. And the South African...
Out of love, not convenience. We
yes,
need to probably qualify
exactly.
that.
But the thing is, she said if you look at history, and she's probably in her maybe mid-40s at this point, she was totally in for Nelson Mandela mm-hmm. and the end of the apartheid government. But South Africa had very similar beginnings to the United States. Even though it was in the African continent, it was like 60-40 black-white.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, America came, obviously was founded more by Europeans. And they had very similar backgrounds. What's happened now since apartheid is gone, she claims it's a blueprint for what they're trying to do to America. They can't do it here because we were 77% white. So now you have to have white privilege and you have to feel shamed to be white. So they can turn that around. My thing is, like you just said, Dr. Lena, this is a country that has really, since we fought a civil war against that. I don't see that anywhere else.
No.
We have a black president in a predominantly white country.
Twice.
I don't see that anywhere else.
Yeah.
And yet we're a racist country. And this, to me, goes back to the public school system, which I call child abuse. That's really what it is. Because these kids are not being taught American exceptionalism. And so to say make America great again is what Donald Trump is trying to say. We have exceptionalism. This country goes down. The rest of the world is going to go down. Let's just face it. This is the last resort, really, when you think about it, to save what's going on. I mean, if we didn't fight World War II, we'd be speaking German.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, another way to think about it, if it's so awful, why is everybody breaking down the door to get in here?
Right.
Everybody. I mean, what is up with that? So you can't have it both ways. Either it's the worst country in the world, you won't want anything to do with it, or it is something that offers people a way up and a way out and freedom to talk crap if they want to, and someone will defend their right to do it. That's really, I mean, the bottom line for me is the people who are complaining actually want to get power. This is their way of getting power. I'm not sure they actually necessarily believe it, but it's a way to actually get power and keep it. So if you have an open border and you have all the folks flood in, and AOC is now talking about how they should fill out the census, and you know how, right. the, you know what that means, basically, whatever you're, you get congressional seats depending on the number of people in your city. They're just trying to get more power so they can keep power and be democratic forever. This is not that they care about people. If they did, I don't think they'd be encouraging people to come across the border where you have to take birth control before you leave your home country, because the likelihood of being raped is so high.
Yeah, they don't talk about that.
They don't care about that. Or
no. And all of a sudden, the open borders thing, they kind of are quiet about because of the coronavirus.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
I have friends who go, well, we have all these eradicated diseases in the country because people aren't inoculating their kids. And I said, well, if they were eradicated in the first place, you wouldn't need that. Obviously, it's coming across the border. Ugh, frustrating.
Well, yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. But yep. if we indeed have herd immunity, then everybody does not have to be vaccinated. Seriously.
Dr. George, have you ever heard of a former governor of Colorado? He was a Democrat by the name of Governor Richard Lamm, two M's, L-A-M-M.
I don't think so.
All right. I would encourage your listeners to check out a speech that Dr. Lamm gave, or I don't like keep calling him Dr. Lamm. Maybe he is a doctor, but he's a former governor of Colorado, Democrat. He gave a speech in, I think, 2003, and ironically, the speech was, what would I do if I wanted to destroy America? The scary thing about it, there are like 9 points that he talks about. Tribalization, multicultural, multi-language, victimology. All of the things that we've been talking about and everything that the left has been doing, he discusses in this speech. And it's about a 10-minute speech, maybe. People can pull the transcript of it. You can listen to it. If you Google Governor Richard Lamm speech about destroying America, it's eye-opening, it's terrifying. And it's prophesizing, because he stated this in the speech in, I think, 2003 or 4. Yeah. It was during Bush 43. But everything that took place in the Obama years was is exactly what Lamm talked about.
It was accelerated, in my opinion, during the Obama years, because their control is all they're all about.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about the people. They'll always have health care. They'll always have food. And it's just something that, unfortunately, our kids are not educated about.
And I think that's the parents' role. I mean, parents need to take back their power. And again, I think that's part of our social construct. You have everybody else caring for the children. They're living, basically raising themselves online. And the parents aren't involved anymore. And I think we need to speak about how the family structure, and I think that's a major underpinning that's been under attack for years, literally. So let's take our second break. You're listening to Living the Solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Don Newen and Donna Fiducia, and they're the hosts of Cowboy Logic Radio. And people should go to their website, www.cowboylogic.us, and you can email them at cowboylogicradio@gmail.com. I recommend that you subscribe to their show, because it's just fun. It's fascinating, and you're not going to hear what's going on, what they're saying anywhere else, honestly. Now, before the break, we were speaking about family structure, and I come at it from a slightly different point of view, because for me, the black family used to be 70% complete, with a mom, a dad, and children, and a complete household. And it was the Democratic policies with, you know, welfare and all these things that made you break up the family. You, if you needed public assistance, you had to say that you didn't know where your dad was. So that was like the beginning of the corruption and the breakup of the Black family. And it's just been downhill since then. But now we're seeing that pervade through society. And as I said before the break, I think that social media and the internet is doing a bang up job at screwing up family structure. What's your take on it?
Well, I totally agree with you. Prior to 1960, and especially prior to Lyndon B. Johnson taking the office of the president, the Black community was all about family. And you know much better than a 59-year-old white guy, this goes back hundreds of years. The family unit in the Black community was extremely strong, and during the 60s, it was broken, and it was all by design, in my opinion. It was broken so that the Black community, as Lyndon B. Johnson said, I'm going to keep them voting Democrat for the next 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it. Now, granted, there were mistakes that were made by the Republicans that kind of pushed the ball over the end zone. But the bottom line is this. The Democrat Party planned this, and they were successful with it. And I ask constantly, because as you know, Dr. George, there is a huge walk-away movement. And Donald Trump and the Republican Party is starting to see Black Americans come back to the party where they're embraced, where they quite frankly belong, because most of the Black Americans, at least that I run into and engage with, share the exact same values socially, with regard to independence and less government. They share my same values, family. And the thing is, with the Democrat Party, I will ask questions. I did it this past week with a 22-year-old political science student that from West Georgia, University of West Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, tell me this. You've been voting Democrat. Your family is voting Democrat. You're now a young voter, and you're talking about voting Democrat. Do me a favor. Tell me one thing, and I'll just take one, and I'll walk away, and I will concede defeat to you. Tell me one thing the Democrat Party has ever done in history to make Black Americans' lives better. And she stood there and couldn't answer that question. Finally, I told her, I said, you can stop trying. I've asked this question for years. I know the answer to it. I said, let me take it one step further. What about the Congressional Black Caucus? Give me one thing that they have done to better the lives of Black Americans. Couldn't come up with anything. I said, all right, final question for you. Right now you've lost on two of them here. Final question. Race baiters like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Leo, what's his name?
Leo Terrell.
Yeah, goofball over at Fox.
Give me a break.
What are these people doing to better the lives? But you got a guy that's being labeled as orange man bad that's doing everything. And the thing is, you may know this statistic better than I am. You're the doctor. But right now, based on which poll you're looking at, Trump is securing between 20 and 35% of the Black vote.
Yeah, I've heard that statistic as well.
This is enormous.
I know.
Because all of a sudden, this walk away from the BS is starting to come to fruition for us.
I think the other thing also is the education system. People are starting to realize how it's failing our kids. You don't have one high school in Baltimore where they have any kind of graduation rate worth a damn. There's no reason why you should have remedial reading in colleges. I mean, it's pathetic. And what it is it's brainwashing. That's all it is. So when you talk to these brains of mush, as Rush Limbaugh calls them, this young girl that Don just spoke to, and all of a sudden they start thinking and they go, wow, it's like a light bulb goes off on their head. And the thing is, to me, the government has become, since Lyndon Johnson, has taken the place of the father in the black community as well as the white community. It's trickling down.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And look at Margaret Sanger. She specifically said in Planned Parenthood, she's trying to eradicate the black community. I mean, nobody talks about that. That woman has still got a place in the Smithsonian, and they're attacking Donald Trump, who's trying to do all kinds of things to better the black community. In fact, with these empowerment zones that are going up now, the black community has actually, and lower class Americans are actually faring better because a rising tide raises all boats. But it's a slow process, and you've got a media that's 92% against him, which is pathetic. He tweets and he's orange. It's all emotions on the left. There's no facts that they can actually stand up against.
I think that's an excellent point. And as soon as your emotions get involved, reason goes out the window. You know, you become, it's tribal, it's, you know, lizard brain, you know, driven, and you just want to be on the winning team no matter what, you know, and that's not, it's not reality. You just described all the things that's gone on the last 4 years. Empowerment zones, people being let out of jail who've been sitting there with some crazy, and by the way, that was the Clinton administration with a three-strike rule, and people with an ounce of something getting life in prison. Nobody says anything about the Democratic, legal structure that's really removed millions of black people from their households. And now it's just black, everybody. Yeah. I mean,
and you're separating the families.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Look what you're doing at the border. Well, Tom Homan, who you and I both met at the Greenville, South Carolina Rock the Red convention that we emceed, and you spoke at, Dr. Elena, he actually said, I stopped somebody for a traffic violation, and they're driving on an illegal license. They're going to jail. They're separated from their families. That's an American family. Where is – the thing is – I believe the bigger story is the black community is taken for granted by the Democrat Party, has been for decades. So now they got to expand their base and go with illegals and everything else to try to get them to vote so they can contain their power. And it's, they know full well the black community is finally rising up and seeing what's going on, and they don't like what they see. So what do they want? Open borders. Illegals voting, illegals filling out the census, it all fits.
Well, you even go further, illegals committing crimes and being let go.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I can't even, you know, the stories that we've been hearing coming out of, you know, senior citizens and infants being molested and raped and killed is outrageous. I can't understand how, and this is my new favorite, the squad voted against a legislation that was, I don't know, if, I think it was passed, that if you work for TSA, you can't work for them if you're a child molester or a sex offender. And they voted against that. What is wrong with them? Who wants that? I mean,
well, everything's wrong with
and
them.
And sitting down when Trump talks about how women are empowered and have more empowerment zones for women and extra and extremely low unemployment. In fact, historically low unemployment across the board, and they sit there on their hands during the State of the Union. It's a joke. And what I think is, I want to say hashtag manufactured crisis. Everything's a crisis. Everything's a crisis for the mainstream media, of which I was a part of for over 30 years. And Dr. Elena, I saw it breaking down through the years. If I did anything like CNN or MSNBC or even the Alphabet networks did today, I would have been fired in an instant. You can't make stuff up like the New York Times does that you want to see happen and then print it. And then everybody sees what the New York Times prints and runs with it because, hey, it's the New York Times. It has to be true. It's not. And that's exactly how the FISA warrants even got, produced and followed through on to do the whole impeachment thing.
That's true. But I think, isn't there a law that Congress passed under the last administration that if it's propaganda, it's legal, right? So you can say whatever you want. It's not illegal. Just like you can literally lie on the congressional floor.
Exactly.
And it's not journalism, though. But
no. And it shouldn't be how you run a country either, that you can make up things and railroad somebody. And for those who are who followed that whole impeachment fiasco. My take on it, besides that it was completely ridiculous, but if they can do it to the president, they can do it to you. And we don't have the same resources to have a lawyer fight our battles for us. We're going down, right? Mm-hmm. They can just make
stuff up. That's why they all basically say, you know, say that they're guilty. They, you know, cop a plea because they can't fight it because they don't have the money. Same. That's exactly what happened with Michael Flynn. And our good friend Sidney Powell is his new attorney. And she's finally turning the tides on this because she knows all these same players from a book that she wrote, License to Lie. Got all the same players in there that prosecuted the president and Flynn and the whole impeachment fiasco.
I think it even goes back to Blagojevich, quite frankly. It's the same crew, the same infrastructure that took him down. And again, you have to follow the money. You have to follow the power. And this system is, they've been doing shady stuff for so long that they think they're untouchable. And then let's come back after our next break, because I want to talk about the judiciary system, because I think they're just completely corrupt. So on that note, let's take our final break. You're Living in the Solution.
You're listening to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George, healthcare consumer advocate.
From treatment of sinusitis with balloon dilation to minimally invasive office procedures to correct snoring, Peachtree ENT Center offers state-of-the-art care. We also specialize in price transparency. You'll know the cost of our ENT services before they're rendered, whether you have a high deductible plan or no insurance at all. Make an appointment today to find out why Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. Call 404-591-9100 or visit us at PeachtreeEntCenter.com.
We'd like to thank you for listening to Living in the Solution and invite you to subscribe and share it with your friends.
Welcome back to Living the Solution. Before the break, we were starting to get into, I think, the real crux of why we're in the situation, power and money. I think they both come hand in hand. I'm really struck by how the judicial, I mean, I knew the justice system didn't work for people who didn't have money, but I had no idea how corrupt it was. I mean, the whole Roger Stone issue with this judge, who's obviously an ideologue, who put people on the jury who were anti-Trump. I mean, that's not a jury of your peers, and it's completely naked, and she's still doubling down. Why isn't anybody being removed or impeached? It's shocking. All these legal,
lifetime appointments. And she's the same judge that threw Paul Manafort in jail and solitary confinement for tax issues.
Well, the bottom line is they're not judges. Yeah, they're activists.
Well, how do they get in there? I mean, they have to be confirmed by Congress, don't they? What are the Republicans doing? Didn't they have a majority in the point?
This Roger Stone thing, one more step with regard to the tainted juror. Where the heck were his lawyers on this? And where was the research being done before this woman would have even been picked?
She lied.
I mean, the bottom line is this, Dr. George. If let's say you get called to do jury duty, which is a privilege and it's a responsibility of all citizens. But let's say you've got something going on in your life where work-wise, mm-hmm. where if you end up sitting on a jury for 2 weeks making $13 a day with jury pay or 26 or whatever it is, your business is going to fall apart. But you can't go up to them and say, hey, you know, I got business I got to do. They're not going to let you out.
No.
The bottom line is this. You can taint yourself and be removed from that. You can be told to go home right then by saying certain things. Why would this person even be allowed to be on that jury? And I would point the finger not at the judge that we know is corrupt, not at the prosecutor that we know might be corrupt, but I'd point it at Stone's lawyers and find out what the heck they were thinking.
Exactly. And you know what, Dr. Elena, up in New Jersey, I know we're from New Jersey, I used to always say I worked at Fox News. I got out of jury duty my entire life up in New Jersey. I was off that jury. I come down here, I say I work at Fox News, they don't care. I've already been on a jury here in Carrollton. And it's like, and I got called the second time. They said, oh, sorry, it's been not long enough. We'll give you a break on that one.
That's hilarious. But I have an answer for your question about the Flynn defense team. That defense team is in the same it's the same legal firm that Holder works for.
Eric Holder.
Okay, well, so they totally were against the guy and they railroaded him. They weren't really his advocates.
And Rod Rosenstein is down here in Atlanta now. He's got, what firm is
King
he at?
King & Spalding.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And wow. His sister is the woman who's running the CDC. His sister's the one who tried to, and I guess it's good to be a little safer and, you know, we might have to go to school via, you know, the internet and things are going to have to be closed down and everything. And we have to worry about this coronavirus. But this was like 3 weeks ago. And this is or 2 weeks ago when Trump was flying home from India and he was saying, you know, we've already taken precautions and everything else. And she gets up there and basically undermines him by making, you know, throwing panic out there. And she's Rod Rosenstein's sister.
This is politicized. What about the ambassador in Japan who okayed people to come back to the United States on the same plane with people who were infected against the policy of the government because he just wanted to do it and then he crowed about it. This is Senior Executive Service with SES. These bureaucrats that are not voted in, who basically have lifetime appointments, who have a vested interest in the status quo staying the same. People need to look that up. These are senior executive service members. These are people who are part of the State Department, who are part of judiciary, who these are like the puppet masters behind the scenes.
That want Joe Biden in there.
Well, because
think
he's
about that.
Well, I don't think he's all there, quite frankly. But you know what? He's not going
to
give you
no attention to the man behind the curtain. Just like you said, they're going to be the ones running things.
Yeah, and he's not going to put up any resistance. He's just going to let it happen while he fills his pockets. I mean, this is a system built on cronyism and graft. I don't care what part of the country we're talking about, whether it's healthcare. Whether it's politics, you know, straight politics, whether it's how we deal with foreign governments, there's a slush fund mentality here. Look at the government. The president asked for $2.5 billion to fight the coronavirus. He got $8 billion. And there's pork all through that bill. This happens all the time. They have $1.8 million or billion going to foreign countries. How does that work? You know, so we're just giving taxpayer money away when we're supposed to be protecting ourselves.
We're becoming a banana republic, in my opinion, except that we've got a lot more money to deal with so we can stay afloat longer.
May I interject something here between you two fine ladies?
No, we're both from New Jersey, so therefore you can't say anything.
Actually, I'm from Brooklyn, though.
Oh, Brooklyn is even
but that's
worse.
Okay.
I've noticed this. Well, hey, before we do anything, Dr. George, given the fact that you're from Brooklyn, let's talk a little Brooklyn real quick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Hey, Doc, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
You know,
you didn't come back, though. You didn't come back with the Brooklyn thing, though.
Well, see, I'm from Clinton Hill, so I don't know the other part of it. Sorry.
But you went to Princeton, so you got to have a Jersey accent, too.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay. There you go.
All right. May I ask you a question? Can I flip the tables here? Because, you know, you're the host of this show, but in my opinion, you're one of the greatest doctors that walks on the surface of the earth.
You're so kind.
And your listeners know that or they wouldn't be tuning in every week to you. Tell us the real about the coronavirus, because I think it's nothing but political quagmire. It's the next thing to try to destroy and stagnate Donald Trump. And they know they can't do anything to talk about his economy. So let's do something that's going to actually try to hurt his economy.
I think there's a couple of layers to that. I think on one level, you're absolutely right. We've gone from, having it hit China to becoming, it's a pandemic, it's going to destroy our economy, and talking down the economy, making people think that they need to stay home and not engage, not shop. And then the fact that I knew that that was kind of fishy is when everybody was crowing about how this would take it down, it'd be his Katrina. The rhetoric on the side of those who are anti-Trump were in glee of this spreading throughout the country. Two, you had you know, people like Meissonnier, that's Rod Rosenstein's sister, and she's part of the CDC and the infectious disease, I think, part of it. And she's changed her tone. Well, and it always happens when he's out of the country. I noticed that also. But it was a fear tactic. But you know what? They don't give you statistics that are actually something you can compare apples to apples. When people hear there's another infection, just because there's an infection, it's not a death, okay? And if you look at the common flu, 80,000 people died of the common flu last year. I think, what is it? I think there are maybe up to 9 or 10 people dead from the coronavirus here. So this, when you compare it to the flu, it's not as lethal as people are saying. It does exist. I don't think it's a hoax. Don't get me wrong. But you can take precautions like you would normally. Wipe down surfaces. Wash your hands. Don't touch your eyes or your nose. Don't put your fingers in your face or your mouth. Make sure if you're sick, you stay home. I mean, there's a lot of things that can blunt this. Stay, you know, watch your nutrition so that you're not, you know, sleeping properly. You're not eating properly. Those things will put you in harm's way. But the people who are dying from it are senior. The same thing in Italy. Like, I think 90% of the people who've died are over 60 or 70. So this is not hitting the population in the way that they are telling us it is exactly. Now, whether that will change, I can't answer that question, but it's about fear. And as soon as you have fear, then they get to control you. They always do that, whether it's gun violence, whether it's H1N1, remember swine flu, remember Ebola. But my question is, if these things are so dangerous, and this is, just think about it from a common sense point of view. They quarantined a California neighborhood yesterday, and I'm looking at the pictures online, and the police that are doing the quarantine are not in any protective gear. What's wrong with that picture? Okay, so if it's so awful and it's so lethal, why aren't they in hazmat suits? Just think about it logically for a second. I mean, you start hearing quarantine, you start freaking out. Don't freak out. Don't panic. Be prepared. That's what you need to do.
We went to Costco this past weekend, and it was noticeably quieter. And everybody was saying, well, there was no toilet paper or paper towels left. All right, that's fine. But unfortunately, the media can create frenzy. They didn't do this with the H1N1 during the Obama administration. Obama did nothing. I always do hashtag double standard. Obama did nothing on the H1N1 till 1,000 Americans were dead from it.
Mm-hmm.
And he waited. Trump was already taking action while Adam Schiff was trying to impeach him. And nobody talks about that.
The timing is everything. Timing is everything in politics, guys. The bottom line is this. They fail. Every time they fail at trying to take Trump down, give it a day, give it 3 days, give it a week, then the next crisis comes into play. And that's exactly what happened with this. We get through this impeachment charade, this fraud of an impeachment trial, and all of a sudden what happens? There's nothing. He does the State of the Union where he's touting the economy, and they know that could be his Achilles heel, because there's nothing that would be normal about this economy tanking, and all of a sudden this is manufactured. You go to the Drudge Report, which I don't do anymore because it's an epic failure at this point.
Well, he sold it. Remember?
Huh?
He sold it. He no longer owns it.
Well, okay. Here's the deal, though. It's not the Drudge Report anymore. It's the coronavirus report.
It's the anti-Trump report, and it really is ridiculous. And things are made in China, and they're trying to say, well, we're, you know, turning our economy. Thank God Trump started to decouple from China 3 years ago. But Dr. George, I would like to ask you, why 100% of our penicillin is still made in China? If nothing else, the fact that all these drugs are made in China, maybe we'll wake up to the fact that that's got to stop.
I think, unfortunately, we're at the last few seconds of the show because it goes so quickly. This is a way for us to bring our economy back on American soil. This is a health issue. It is a protection of our country issue, and there's no question we need to do that. So in the last 10 seconds, how can people find your show?
CowboyLogic.us. And if you go there and you click on the archive shows link, it'll take you to our archive page where you can scroll down and find Dr. Elena George and click on her name and listen to every episode that she has been on our show, because it's been a memorable experience.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
To have you on again. This is too
love
short.
You too. Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Living the Solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk Events.